The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to One Fall Podcast. It is August 30th. You're listening to Stick Boy for the One Fall Podcast. As I said, Joshua Adam William Arbuth, not with Mr. Joel Johnson, the ultimate babyface.
Well, unless I get close to Paul Heyman, then I don't know how much of a babyface I am.
So we just finished the Payback pay-per-view, which is obviously why you were here to listen to the One Fall Pod. And, you know, it's not a pay-per-view that's going to set the earth on fire, certainly, but it's not a thumbs-down pay-per-view. And left with some good directions where the WWE's headed. And I would say for the first time in a while, I actually kind of have a sense where WrestleMania is going into the fall for the first time in a while. And I'm kind of excited to start going in that direction. I don't remember, Joel, outside of Rock and Cena, where I could kind of see where Mania is going and get excited about it.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, there are times where you could see some stuff. You think, okay, they're kind of building towards this. This is kind of the rumors. But the two potential main events for WrestleMania next year, which very well could still be without crowds, we're still very much in the middle of a pandemic. I think they're two very good main events, and there's something absolutely, I think there's money in both main events that could potentially happen.
Yeah, so you're looking at potentially Roman Reigns and Big E, and you're looking at, my guess would be Drew and potentially Keith Lee in some sort of matter. I think the Big E Roman one is more certain, and then something with Sasha and Bayley. And then also something with Randy and Edge. But, you know, like I remember it got to even to the Rumble. We were like, we have no idea where WrestleMania is going. We're like, maybe Drew's winning, but we had no idea. No. Now it's kind of like nice to be like, okay, I think I kind of know where things are going.
Yeah, and you look at it and you go, it's okay where it's going. I'm really okay with it. I'm really, really on board with them strapping a couple rockets to Big E and just sending him to the moon. He's incredibly talented, so I'm perfectly okay with that. He's the guy I'd have win the Rumble, to be honest.
I would too. I think the thing is right now, is WWE better than New Japan or AEW? No. But it's the least offensive it's ever been. It's an enjoyable product right now. And at the end of the day, as long as we get to have good wrestling around the clock, I'm fine with it. It has a ways to go to get to the level of those two. But I do find, and you and I talked about this before we get to the pay-per-view, of people are like, oh, I just want to rag and say WWE's terrible. And look, we will say when it's terrible. But I think for about a month now, where there is terrible things, like still, there was no retribution on this show, which I think is a negative against not having retribution on either of the pay-per-views. That's not good for a big angle you're building. That's a major negative against the show, and we'll talk about some of the other negatives from this show. But I do feel like they're building stars correctly for the first time in a while, and I like the directions of where different storylines are going.
I think the one of the things is this show was definitely used to build different guys up. You're kind of starting to see them starting to cook guys that I think they're going to go with moving forward, because the reality is, you can't mess around with guys anymore. You can't do the age old, let's test these guys out and see how they handle when we screw with them. It's now we have to book the best that we can, because you're seeing it where AEW is doing well. And AEW is doing well, and they're doing it differently than how WWE does it, from behind the scenes to the on-air product. You're seeing that something else is working, and that's putting pressure on WWE to have to step up their game, because the reality is, if I'm a pro wrestler, I'd want to go to AEW over WWE. WWE's got some work to do, but this is the building blocks for maybe something positive down WWE, which is the first time in a while. I really liked what they did with Roman. That's one of my first points of the night. I really liked what they did with Roman. This is long overdue for Roman Reigns. And ultimately, you're going to get to where WWE always wanted with Roman, was the big star. And when Roman works, when you have a crowd and the crowd's going crazy for Roman Reigns, and Vince can be like, see, I was right. Yeah, Vince was right, but Vince didn't go about it the right way. I think that will be Roman's history, is Roman will work, but it wasn't the way Vince initially planned, and Vince finally had to be adaptable with it.
I mean, look, there's been heels that have worked in the past. Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, Hollywood Hogan, when he finally turned. Heels can work. It's the adjustment they made at the right time for Roman that they never made with Cena. And I think that's a point you can kind of look at the business kind of sliding a bit, especially Cena's career. There's that moment for Cena, like the U.S. Challenge, but there is moments where Cena's like, they have to pull the trigger, and they didn't. And I'm very glad, much like, you know, WCW saw with Hogan. And look, Roman Reigns' babyface stuff compared to Hogan isn't there, but WCW made the decision, this is not working with Hogan anymore. We have to change the course. I'm glad WWE made the decision to be like, we cannot babyface Roman anymore. It is not working. He's a cancer survivor, and they're still not cheering him. Let's just go with it. Let's turn him heel, and let's let loose from there. And it's worked so far for the first three times now that we've seen him.
I think it's proven that it's working. I think if this was a crowd, the crowd would be eating this up. This would be the most talked about stuff from WWE in, quite frankly, in quite a while. Maybe outside of the Randy stuff, but this is the hottest the main event for SmackDown has been since before Roman left. Like, I can't remember the last time this was really hot for SmackDown's main event scene. Because even you look at the jump to Fox, the first night Brock murders Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
From that point onwards, what was it, October 2019?
Yeah.
From 2019 to now, you finally got a little bit of heat in the kitchen with that main event scene.
The problem is, who's the babyface? Who is the babyface now that he goes against? That's the problem now.
That is the problem. I mean, you can... Because you don't want to go to E right away.
No.
Do you go to...
You got Riddle, but he Corbin's something with him, so I don't know if you do that. I mean, Brian's there. You know Brian's a good hand, and you can make him work. I threw Jeff Hardy at you earlier. You could do something with that. I mean, even with the Strowman stuff, you kind of saw, like, we saw the tease with Bliss, so I'm assuming something's going to happen with Bray and Bliss, and they're going to throw... My guess is that we're going to come back to a three-way with these three competitors, though, at Clash of Champions, first and foremost. Where we go at Hell in a Cell, I don't know. It may even be him and the Fiend for a little bit, which I don't really want. I kind of want him and the Fiend to kind of distance themselves from each other right now.
Yeah, especially because you will kind of kill off the Fiend. Because you're just going to get speared. The one thing, like, you can have plucky, underachieving baby faces like a Mustafa Ali, a Chad Gable, small little guys like that that could work with Roman. You really want to drive home that he's a heel and Heyman's pulling the strings. Basically have it where you're setting up tin cans in front of Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are putting on valiant efforts against your top heel champion. I think that looks better. And I think that's one way you could go that helps maybe establish an Ali, a Chad Gable. And it feels like Roman's running rickshaw over everyone in the division until you get the goofy, silly, pancake-throwing, hip-shaking, extremely talented, funny, personable Big E, and you have Kofi and Woods in his corner heading into Mania. I think ultimately the goal is to get to Big E. Big E is the finish point, and I'd be very excited. I don't want a heel turn from the New Day. I don't want them costing him anything. I don't want them abandoning. I don't want any jealousy. These guys have all come in with the same goal from 2014 when it shouldn't have worked, all the way to 2020 for 6 years. There's zero reason to end the run there. And I think if you're building long term, you're building to Big E. I'm really excited.
My question, because E's eventually going to win it. That would mean that the last one will be Woods. Do you ever see Woods getting it?
That could be a storyline. That's definitely a storyline. And that's not a terrible storyline. One thing you can say about WWE is they've got a couple of people that they really rely on for PR. The Miz, R-Truth, and it's the New Day.
Yeah.
You don't see Xavier Woods. And like right now, you don't see him as a world champion, but you could start cooking him to be a world champion. You absolutely could. And if at the end of the New Day's career, all three of them have been world champion at least once, it would be hard to argue with a better faction than the New Day. Mm-hmm. Because you look at how dominant they were in the tag team division, and if they can go on to all have single run success while still maintaining their unit and just end the career with the three of them just riding off into the sunset or being dragged out kicking and screaming, I mean, I think the legacy would be there for all three of them. Like, I think Kofi's career will be done before Big E's career is done. I don't know where Woods will go because he's got a lot of other stuff on the go. I could see him bowing out a little bit earlier. But if you have a New Day run where, Jesus, they don't turn on one another, they all potentially have single runs, it'd be hard to argue with what that group was able to accomplish, especially considering they were considered DOA on arrival in 2014. They should not still be with the company.
It's a shame we never got them in the Elite outside of the little Street Fighter thing. And it's never gonna happen. It's a shame.
Yeah, that'll be always one of those what if matches.
Well, we're kind of jumping all over the place to start off with, but that's kind of what we do in these. Let's kind of go run through the card. Not everything is going to dominate the conversation. We're going to start off with the pre-match. Some of these Joel did miss, so I'll kind of just run down really quick the booking of it, and Joel, you can kind of give your opinion from what happened. Riot Squad with Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan defeated the Iconics. There was a point where, Liv is knocked to the outside. Ruby was kind of against the ropes, and Billie Kay pushed Ruby, and it made it look like the Iconics were saying that Ruby hit her. Liv kind of was going to walk away from the ring. She finally comes back, and together they defeat the Iconics. Then they do kind of a promo on the desk after saying that they're back. I'm assuming with who the champions are now, this is the tag team to keep an eye on.
I think the division. It sounds like it also kind of creates a little bit of curiosity if we're going to do a singles feud with them based on that little bump, though I didn't see it, so I'm not entirely sure. But you got to start heating up other tag teams, and this is a good tag team to start with. I really like Ruby Riott. I think she's really talented, and just make a go of it with her, because I eventually think she will get to a singles run, but at the time now, it doesn't hurt to really establish your women's tag team division. And if you can build a nice, plucky underdog tag team that goes head-to-head with the big bullying heels of Baszler, who looked like a murderous, just killer out there, and Nia Jax, who is reckless, but that's besides the point. You can build towards that type of matchup. I think that's the right call.
So, yeah. Decent match with these two. A few botches here and there, but I thought they worked hard. Bobby Lashley defeats Apollo Crews and he gets the full Lashley to tap him out. There's this kind of fun little segment afterwards where they got a camera guy to come in and kind of threw all these little snapshots of them celebrating on the screen. So that was cool. And I think the Hurt Business really doesn't hurt Apollo. I think Apollo is in a much better place than he was last year. He's kind of now cemented his spot on the roster of the mid-turd guy now that's not exactly a jobber, and I think they still have some level plans for Apollo, but the Hurt Business needed this to kind of continue building up the faction. Wouldn't be shocked if Shelton wins the 24 title back even tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm perfectly okay. Bobby's a guy you can build to for a special Raw WrestleMania Underground match versus mm-hmm. Brock. You could do something different with Brock heading, because I don't think they're going to be in LA next year. I really and truly think that they're going to be.
Depends on the Super Bowl. We have to keep an eye what the Super Bowl is.
I'm really curious to see, but I would build towards Brock and Bobby, and that's what I'd be doing with Bobby Lashley, because I think the main event scene's kind of tied up right now.
Yeah.
But having that Brock match is something he's really wanted, and that's something I'd probably be gearing towards.
So good job of that, and like I said, the Hurt Business needed it. Apollo was in a fine condition. Big E and Sheamus, we talked so much about Big E. Good match between the two of them, but Big E ends up winning this match to kind of continue the singles push for Big E. Not too much other than that.
This is absolutely right way. You're not going too quickly with Big E, but you're also getting him wins and starting to establish him, which I think is going to help him in the long run.
He beats a former world champion. Never bad to do that, right? Then you have Matt Riddle beating King Corbin. A good win for Matt Riddle. And I thought they did a good job, too, of selling, you know, for all what we kind of roll our eyes with King Corbin, I thought, you know, he does have accolades, and they listed them on the broadcast to make the win bigger, saying, like, he's a former Money in the Bank winner. He's a former Andre Memorial Battle Royal winner. He's a former King of the Ring. He's a former U.S. champion, to kind of build up. And I think that stuff WWE doesn't do enough. You know, we look at a guy like Corbin, and we kind of do look at it as a guy that will slide and take a loss. But when you put those accolades, a win makes it that much better, you know, for someone like Matt Riddle that you're trying to build up. Some of us are like, oh, it's Corbin, who cares? But adding those accolades, it makes the win just a little bit better. And I like that they started labeling those, because they had been very bad at doing that in the past. And they build up Corbin, and then after Corbin attacks him. In the back when Riddle was doing a promo. But I like that they built it up, and nice win here for Matt Riddle.
The one thing with Corbin is it's not building him up for you or me. We kind of know what Corbin is, and mm-hmm. I don't know how much we care, but there are other wrestling fans out there that hearing those accolades and everything will help indicate to them that, oh, okay, Corbin's a big deal. Oh, okay, Matt Riddle won. This is a good thing. And Corbin's does a very decent job as a heel, so it all kind of works out. So I think ultimately this is, like you said, this helps establish Riddle and helps build him up, though I don't know if he should still be on TV, but that's a conversation for another podcast.
Yeah, and I think you missed it. There was a thing where Corbin tweeted, if only something about Riddle, if only he could contain his stuff in the ring as much as His work ethic in the ring is as messy as his life at home with his wife. And they use this storyline on TV.
Yeah.
Wasn't a full fan of that. So that's something they're going with right now, which I don't know why you're leaning into that. And I know that'll be one of the criticisms coming out from the Meltzers and the Pollocks and the Kellers and the Powells as the podcast. And right here from us, I thought it was something like, why are we leaning into that? Let's stay away from that.
Yeah, no kidding. Ugh, that's gross. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know why they went there. Aside from that, which I'm sure is going to be more of a story as the days come up, I think it's time for Corbin to ditch the King gimmick. It's done. It's been played out.
Yeah, it's time to evolve and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Does he still have a disciple in Chad Gable?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because the match between Riddle and Gable was, what, 20 seconds?
Yeah, something like that.
Ah, Chad Gable gets free. If he chooses to go free, he's going to be scary in Japan, anywhere. Anywhere Chad Gable will be terrifying.
Yeah, I'd like to know his contract.
Yeah, he's someone that I think is you should be starting to build up.
Chad Gable for the 2021 G1, please.
Oh, best of Super Juniors, him and Shingo, him and Rey Fénix, him and Pentagon, Kenny Omega, the list could go on and on.
Next up, we have the women's tag team titles. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, they defeat the reigning champions of Bayley and Sasha Banks after a double tap out from Shayna Baszler. Again, did a good job taking a younger talent and building them up hugely. Shayna has kind of gone down the pole a little bit since her call up from NXT, but this was the biggest push she's had in a long time. Huge win for Shayna. Makes her look great. I don't know when they're going to lose the women's titles. Probably soon, maybe even on Raw or at Clash in a few weeks, but this made Shayna look like deadly assassin.
It was fantastic. It was downright incredible, that finish. She kind of saw what they were doing. You're like, they did it. They fucking, it was great. I don't care about Nia. It doesn't matter to me. But Baszler looked incredible. And the storyline furthers with Bayley and Sasha, which I don't know when they're going to pull the trigger on that final storyline, but this is another nail in the coffin of that friendship.
Yeah, I wonder. So now you and I have, you know, we talked about going to WrestleMania. This match is obviously going to take place in some way at WrestleMania, but we had also kind of talked about off air with Sasha and Bayley. Are we going to do kind of what we have with Austin and Brett and have a match beforehand and then Sasha maybe wins the Rumble? Maybe we could see that. My guess is at Clash, it'll be Bayley and Naomi.
Yeah, I think so. I think you... I mean, you're going to have the Survivor Series matches. That's something that you could look at for just finding a way to further cement the turn between the two. Sasha's the babyface in this, I think, because I think Bayley's done such a great job as a role model.
Bayley had the line, too, of, like, it's not my fault you can't defend the title. I should have known that and not let you win the title. Great line.
Just excellent, subtle storytelling.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that AEW does really, 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 really good. And it's, you can see when talent, you let talent just do their thing and you have this layered storytelling and you're seeing it from Bayley and Sasha. And it's more rewarding as a fan to see long-term storytelling as opposed to, you just throw this together. They don't care about these little winks and nudges. A little wink and nudge matters a lot and it just sucks you into the story more. So they've done a tremendous job, just a fantastic job. I'm glad they got the tag titles off of them. And now it is just, you got to build up some other women. But in building up that other women, you can heat towards the eventual collision between Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah, and now, I mean, it's how, so you, I'm guessing Naomi with the win will take on Bayley at Clash, like I said. And then at Hell in a Cell, maybe you can do one more with Naomi there. Then you can get to a Survivor Series match. You can have something between them. And then you got to do something for TLC. And then Bayley at the Rumble. And then you're right there.
That's a lot of...
Yeah, I know. And in all fairness, the Hell in a Cell and the TLC matches kind of could work for grudge matches with Sasha and Bayley. But I think we agree this needs to be saved for Mania at this point.
Yeah, that's the only place to do it.
So I'm not exactly sure how you kind of ease yourself out of no belt Banks now, because you don't want Bayley to lose the title. You want Bayley to be a 400-day plus champion by Mania. Then she loses the belt to Sasha. So you can't have Bayley lose the belt. But you have to kind of, you've had this downfall right here. I guess I'm not going to be shocked if there is a match in the next 3 months, though, because with the belts all gone, I don't know how you don't go to that now. I don't know how you sustain at least the 4 months before the Rumble. That, I guess that's the key, is how do you sustain these next 4 months before the Rumble?
I have no idea. I genuinely have no idea. This is the one thing where they've kind of put themselves in a spot where, how long do you wait to cash in? And is waiting till Mania the right call, or do you have to go to it sooner? It is there's a lot of questions, and there's a lot of, like you said, Super Bowl could have fans, things could be to a point where fans are at things. Is it better to have the fans for when these two finally wrestle one another?
Well, like, also, is it the draw of Sasha winning the title, or is it the draw of Sasha defending the title?
Well, it's almost getting to the point where it's defending the title. That means more.
Yeah.
And that could be the storyline heading into Mania. You'd be like, you can't defend the title, so this is basically a guaranteed win for me. There is no way you can successfully defend that title and have that storyline, have a lot of close calls, and then finally have Sasha get the big win at Mania. And you could, and then later on, you can tell the story that at NXT Brooklyn, Bayley won. At WrestleMania, Sasha won. 1-1 now.
No, they're not. Bayley has two. The Iron Woman match.
Oh, yes, they did that. WWE likes to scrub history. You can do that here. Just pretend that that didn't happen.
Yeah. It's definitely been very well built. I don't know how they get to it. As for Baszler and Jax, I don't know how long this is going to last. Do you think this lasts till Clash of Champions, or do you expect Asuka and Baszler at Clash of Champions and a new tag team champions by then?
I think they'll defend it at a pay-per-view and then they'll move forward, because one of the storylines they mentioned while they were talking is like, it looks like they're working as a unit together. They're coming together, and you can see that they're working for one another. And so
I guess you could do a triple threat, Asuka versus Shayna and Nia for the women's title, and at the same time having them defend their title against the Riot Squad that night.
Yeah, that's entirely possible as well.
Yeah, maybe that's where they go. The Shayna and the Asuka matches are going to be awesome.
Oh, they're going to be fantastic.
We just need to get Nia out of them. Next up, Keith Lee and Randy Orton, 640. Keith Lee wins clean.
I would never in a million years, predicted red hot heel Randy Orton losing to essentially upstart Keith Lee on a pay-per-view match in under 8 minutes.
And thank God no Drew McIntyre. Thank you. Please no Drew McIntyre tomorrow either.
Just continue to sell that punt. Is it a triple threat for the title?
I think there's going to be a few triple threats to Clash, to be honest. I think between the Universal, the WWE, and the Raw Women's, I think we're going to have a few triple threat matches.
But
the storylines make sense, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, as long as the story makes sense, you can make it work. When you have a pay-per-view that's called Hell in a Cell, and you have a whole bunch of Hell in a Cell matches for no bloody reason, when you've got storylines calling for triple threat matches and it actually makes sense, you get rewarded for doing stuff that logically makes sense.
Randy and Drew will make sense in Hell in a Cell. That will make sense by that point. So we're cool with that.
Does Randy get the title? That's my question now.
That's my guess. And then him and Drew fight at Hell in a Cell. And then I don't know where Keith goes from there.
Do you? Because ultimately, you're going to probably kick the title back on Drew heading into Mania. And you can have Randy the title. Pardon?
I mean, you could very well just not have Randy win the title right now.
Yeah. I do wonder if one of the matches they eventually want to get to is 16-time world champion Randy Orton versus 16-time world champion John Cena, who breaks the record for 17. I don't know how you get a vacated title to do it. But I think that they will, that's something that they could do down the line at some point. So I do wonder if Randy's title reign will be short to start popping his number up.
It could be a case, too. I will say WWE's actually done, I know we had a transitional champion, 1 week Universal champion with Bray, but they have done a much better job with their champions and making them last for a while. I mean, look how long Becky was the champ. You now look how long Bayley's been the champ. You look how long Drew's been champ now. For the most part, they've done a pretty good job of making title reigns matter lately.
Yeah.
I will give them that. The secondary titles still need some work there. But I think I actually would say Apollo had a decent US title run, probably one of the better ones in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe since Cena, maybe, where it kind of like the US title kind of seemed to matter a little bit. I think MVP did a big job of kind of ripping it back up.
Yeah. And
Intercontinental doesn't still feel like anything with Jeff.
I'm curious to see. I think Bobby going on a nice tear here will help elevate it more.
Yeah.
And it is making all your titles matter. It's the most important thing because that's the carrot at the end of the long, dangerous journey towards championship gold for the babyfaces. And it's the thieves of the knife for the heels just stealing it, or the monsters steamrolling and taking the title. Like you gotta make them matter. So if you can get the US and the IC title up, I'm perfectly content with that. And I think Bobby's a nice starting point. I don't know if Jeff's the right point for the IC title, but he's not a bad starting point.
No, and I mean, I think him and AJ will have a good match at Clash when they set that up. So yeah, huge win for Keith Lee. We'll see where he goes next. I will say though, the negative in Keith Lee is, excuse me, don't like the new ring music. Really do not like the new ring music. Just this generic guitar music when he had a really good theme in NXT. And the compression shirt is kind of lame, but it is what it is.
Yeah, Keith Lee can absolutely be a really nice star for you. You just really got to treat him like a star. And the music thing has to be figured out sooner rather than later because music matters. And I'm not surprised he has to wear a shirt. It's disappointing because I don't think there's anything wrong with his physique. I think he's just a massive mountain of a man. And you can see it in how he works in ring. Nothing wrong with him going shirtless and steamrolling guys. I think it helps establish him better not having the shirt, but maybe he wants to have a shirt because of maybe there's something, a tear, or it's easier on his back having the shirt. I don't know. Maybe it's his call, but I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah. Next up, the Mysterios beat Seth Rollins and Murphy. Nice little match here. Dominic Mysterio technically picks up his first pinfall in his wrestling career and WWE career, I believe. So nice little match between these two. And then Murphy kind of gets a little bit of a stare down with Seth, so I don't know where they're going. Maybe they're going in that direction with those two. And then for the Mysterios, I guess they'll go for the tag titles?
You know, but
your profits are babyface, so I don't really know.
I thought this was a little bit of too much of a squeaky clean ending.
Yeah.
This feels like this was the second match in a feud that suddenly skipped to the fourth match in a feud. And it just, I don't know, it just felt like it's wrapping itself up for whatever reason. And I don't know if that's the right call. It was a fine match. I thought all the participants are talented. I'm really glad Dominic didn't have the hoodie tonight. I thought that was an excellent call and showing growth as a performer and making little adjustments on what works and what doesn't. It was a good match. I don't know where they go from here. And like you said, you got a babyface tag champion. Does it make sense for them to go after the tag titles as well? That may be something Ray wants, and that's just you probably put on a really good match between the Street Profits and the Mysterios. I don't know what the long-term story is. Maybe it's a Dominic heel turn head into Mania, but I'm guessing, is Dominic, I guess, have you heard if Dominic's just done training and now wrestling, or if he's kind of floating between both, or if he's,
it sounds kind of like that's the deal with Ray of what kept Ray in WWE over AEW is you get Dominic. And I don't know necessarily if AEW said, no, we don't want Dominic, but I think maybe Ray wanted him to be in WWE for whatever reason, right? Yeah. I agree with what you said last week. I don't know if you said it on the pod or off air. I think he needs to be seasoned. I think he needs to go to Little Independence in Mexico and all over the globe and get that seasoning. There's nothing wrong with him getting seasoned in WWE. Nothing. But I mean, you've even seen with someone like Drew McIntyre, he more or less grew up in that WWE system. And and same with John Morrison, right? And same with Bobby Lashley. And what happened when those guys went away and came back? Even MVP kind of grew up in the WWE system, right? Shelton Benjamin. You come back and you get seasoned and you get better. I think someone like Dominic could use that to kind of have that experience. There's nothing wrong with him being growing in the WWE. And look, I do not think Dominic's Mysterio's whole career is going to be in WWE. I really don't. He will be in other promotions at some point because he's so young. But for now, I think he is in the ring with the right people. And it'll be interesting. Nothing against Trez or Dawkins. I think they're both great if they go that route. It's just not Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
So we'll see where they go with that. But my best guess is where we're going with that is the Mysterios are winning the tag titles, and then we're going to have Mysterio versus Mysterio at Mania. And then it'll be Rey's career on the line. And Dominic will retire as dad.
Yeah, and I think with Rey, just physically, you don't know how much longer he's got. Yeah. I mean, if you have him do tag matches and sporadic stuff here and there, then physically that's got to be better on his knee and body. But you got to think that Dominic's definitely going to need. It's fine he grows up in the WWE system, but to me, he's a guy that still should very much be working his way into NXT. I feel like he skipped a few steps, so whether that's going to work, pay off long term or not, we're going to see. But I probably would have him working his way up. But I mean, when you've got talent, might as well use it. And if Dominic's going to be someone that you're going to build around, because he's like a long term build a whole show or build a division around. Whether you have him be a star of your cruiserweight division or you have him be in another spot within your company, I think he's a star for you on name value alone. It's just now a matter of getting him to that level. And I think once he shakes his father, I think that's when we'll really see what Dominic has.
Yeah, I mean, with these second gen kids or third gen kids, you never really know. I mean, you look at Samoa Johnson, going to be fourth generation. I hope that's someone that they really do take their time and put in NXT. Like, I hope we don't get to around Mania time and they're like, Samoa Johnson and The Rock. I'm like, no, I don't want that right away for her. I want a very slow build for Samoa Johnson.
I do as well.
So, and I know they're going to see her and they're going to see The Rock, but I think what they did with Charlotte and what they did with Natty was the right way, specifically Charlotte, all respect to Jim Neidhart, God rest his soul, but what they did with Charlotte was the right way to do it, and I hope that's what they do with Simone as well, and to some degree, that's what I wish they would have done with Dominic, and maybe after all this with Rey, maybe you do send him down to NXT and kind of do some stuff there, because I do think his match style, too, can work better in NXT, and I think maybe being in not being on 205 Live, but kind of doing something with Sway and doing something with Gargano and even Finn or some of the other cruiserweights down there, or, you know, people that have a similar style might work a little bit better for him. But my guess right now is they're going to beat the Street Profits for the tag titles. And then we eventually, I could even just see like a little bit of maybe a mini feud between them and Garza and Andrade right now. Because there's, again, two people that you trust. We know the chemistry between Rey and Andrade. So you can go down that way. And then eventually lead to them versus the Street Profits. By the way, too, there is a rumor that the Viking Raiders are heading back to NXT. So that Raw tag division gets a little bit weaker.
Weaker. Yeah, that's a loss. It's a gain for NXT for sure. Fun stat of the night. Bayley was 7-0 in pay-per-views in 2020. This is her first pay-per-view loss this year.
Wow.
So that just tells you, when you tell a long-term story and you build someone up, and then you see her tap out to Baszler on a pay-per-view the first time into the almost the end of August, it means something, and it helped launch Baszler higher, and it just establishes what type of champion Bayley has been.
Well, I think the main problem for WWE booking that we've seen is, and I mean, there's a guy on this show that really felt it was Shelton. Shelton and MVP are the two of the biggest culprits of this during that era, right? Carlito fell into that as well of the roller coaster booking that is like, oh, I really like Carlito. No, too bad. He's going to lose. Oh, I really like Shelton. Too bad. He's going to lose. I like MVP. He's going to lose. I like Chris Masters. He's going to lose. And then you try to build them back up, but it gets to the point you hurt them. If you remember with MVP, he was on like a very steady way with MVP when he was back in that era, right? And then he had that losing streak, and he never recovered from it. Shelton had that win against Hunter, then he had the match with Sean, but then he had the mama, and then up and down losses, and he didn't recover. You've seen today how much big wins and forward momentum like that can really, really help a performer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we have our main event. We've really talked about it already, but Roman Reigns is the Universal Champion. Once again, he defeats The Fiend and Braun Strowman. And I got to say, Joel, I thought the match that Bray and The Fiend put on tonight was way better than last week's.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it was better.
I really, really like that. Roman now is a 5-time World Heavyweight Champion in the company, by the way. So he ties Brett now for championship reigns in history of WWE.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
Obviously he's pretty much won everything at this point too. He's won IC and that's the one thing with Cena, by the way. I wonder if they want to bring Cena back for an IC title run since the one title he hasn't gotten.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be it too.
Yeah, I don't know who he would face, but anyways, this was huge for Roman tonight. I love the booking of this. You really built him up as a heel. You added this so perfectly. The only bummer here is the no fans, because all I kept on thinking about was that Rumble when he came out, and we're like, are you got to be fucking kidding me? And that's what the fans would have reacted to with Roman coming out and signing the contract and winning the title. And then you added, the kickout pops when he came down would have been huge.
Oh, because I think the crowd still would be, I don't think the crowd would already be pro Roman Reigns. Depending on where you are city wise and everything, I think he probably would be getting booed right now. And man, oh man, would that's the only thing missing from this was Roman getting booed out of the building and basically being your corporate champion, Hollywood Hogan, whatever you want to call it, but being finally in the right spot to finally launch the man into the next level, because Paul Heyman and him and doing all of this is going to be the thing that takes Roman from, oh God, he's on the TV, oh no, he's world champion again, to, man, I can't wait to see him lose, to eventually, yay, Roman! Roman's going to be champion! Roman's such a badass! Woo! You're finally going to get to hit all those points, and it's going to be better for the company, it's going to be better for pro wrestling, and it's going to be better just all around having Roman in this spot. This gives you a lot more flexibility. You're not sitting there going, well, Roman's the babyface, so gotta just bring heels for him to mow down. It's now, he's going to take out some of the baby faces that you like, and it's going to drive you bonkers until he becomes the baby face. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this.
I thumbs up from us overall, just from the sense of, I think Renee put it so eloquently in her tweet of like, this was a show that just built people up. You built a bunch of new stars up, and I have no complaints. Was there a 5-star match in the show? No. Is it going to be better than All Out? No. But did it do a good job of building up your talent and making you intrigued for storylines? Yes. And at the end of the day, that's what wrestling's about. We can't be so divisive of AEW, New Japan, WWE. If something's good, let's just admit it's good. And right now, WWE is not terrible. They're on an okay trajectory right now. And it's just fun to know that both companies are doing good stuff right now.
It's fun to know, but always in the back of your mind as a fan of WWE, you always go, well, how can you mess this up?
And there it is.
It is that thing where you're always going to be like, oh, nope. I sit there and I sing the praises of what this Roman thing is, but yep. In four weeks, 2 weeks, even a week, I could be like, Josh, I'm a little concerned about where they're going right now.
We don't know where he's going to be. Like, we don't know the baby faces. After this potential three-way, I don't know what his Hell in the Cell matchup is. Because he will have a Hell in the Cell matchup. Is it against Strowman? I don't want it against The Fiend, because we all remember what that was like. And I would like to say they're not dumb enough to do Hell in the Cell again with The Fiend, but they are. And all this good stuff we've had could go down the toilet.
You don't disparage the match of the year between Seth Rollins and The Fiend, where violent men have been thrown, barbed wire's been used, but a sledgehammer line is drawn. Don't disparage that moment in wrestling history.
Yeah. So, I guess, we'll see.
They're going to do Hell in a Cell, and it will have the red lights, Josh.
Probably.
Because we talk glowingly, but if history has shown us anything, eventually it'll be like, so, you remember that podcast we did where we were saying really nice things? We'll just have to see how things are playing out now and go, what have you done? What have you done? Because that's the thing with WWE is... I just hope, I really, 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 really hope this works. And even if you're just getting a decent, okay product, then maybe that decent, okay product can grow into an all right product, go from an all right product to a good product, go from a good product to a great product, go from great to amazing. And then we as wrestling fans win. We get good content across the board. I think that's what we all want. We want to constantly be watching good stuff. You don't want to turn into Monday Night Raw and go, so they're doing Little People's Court again? Vince McMahon is on trial?
I've still never seen that segment. I've never seen it. I skipped through it. I've still never seen the full segment.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. It's
probably for the best. But I'm hopeful. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm hopeful that... maybe, just maybe, this is the step forward for the company. But I will not be shocked if in 2 to 3, 4 weeks, we're sitting there with Clash of Champions going, so, what are they doing? What are they doing? No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. No. But I'm going to hold out hope that maybe they're going to put out an okay product.
So let's talk about the one thing that was disappointing, other than the Riddle thing, which I was very disturbed by. What are they doing with Retribution? And we kind of have, at least according to Dave Meltzer, the members are announced. So you have Caden Carter, who most might know is kind of in a tag team with Casey Catanzaro, Shane Thorne, Dio Madden, Donovan Dijakovic, and Chelsea Green. There's really, out of that branch, only two people I really trust, with Dijak and Chelsea Green, because we've seen them perform. I haven't seen a lot of Dio Madden to really get too excited yet. Have you seen anything of Shane Thorne in singles at all?
I think so, maybe.
I don't want to judge. I mean, look at... it will happen with Murphy. Like, he ended up being great. So I don't want to get too, you know, crazy there, because Murphy ended up working. So maybe I look, if that's what you have for Retribution, I'm not 100% sold outside of Dijak and Chelsea Green.
And even then, like, here's one of the questions that I had for you when we were going through all this with Retribution. That is the biggest misfire, and that is the reminder of, this is still WWE. is you brought in this faction that has caused chaos and pandemonium and interfered with Bray and Strowman and caused problems and attacked Rey and Dominic. Why in God's name are they not attacking on your big shows? Like, is security being buffed up? What are all the goals that this group has? It, at the end of the day, to me, wrestling is telling a story.
Joel, they can't interrupt the pay-per-view. Like, that's taking it too far. You know, we can interrupt a Raw and SmackDown, but, you know, we have to respect our fellow performers on the pay-per-view nights. That's just going too far.
See, and that instantly, you saying that, and that very well sounds like something WWE would say, that instantly takes the bite out of the group.
Well, even the promo package last week, they had to explain, oh, they hacked our feeds. They hacked our feeds and ran the video. Okay. So they can hack your feeds, but they can't hack the building. Got ya.
Just, like, to me, this is a group that should be causing just disrupting the shit out of things, but they should be targeting people. They should have a reason why they're targeting. Any good character, you go through any story, has logic, reason, motivation. It just feels like, oh, this would be kind of cool. Let's do this. No idea who it is. I don't know if any of the people that you listed can cut a leader-worthy promo. Maybe I could be wrong, and this will be a breakout
Chelsea
moment.
Chelsea could. That's the only one I trust promo-wise.
Even then,
she did it in TNA with the hot mess gimmick. So I trust her to do it, but I don't trust anybody else with the promo side.
And that's a problem when you're putting all your eggs in one basket. What's the logic in everything? Why is this happening? Does it come back to, like you said, does this come back to someone like a Wade Barrett that has come back? Is this his revenge after 10 years of being screwed by Cena? Like, was this the reason why you wanted to bring back the Nexus? Like, have some of the people from the Nexus come back and do something? Like, you...
In many ways, I thought Retribution would be better with what you're just kind of talking about. If you had, like, a Ryback and a Rusev and a Wade Barrett or a Chris Masters, if you had Carlito, if you had those kind of characters, I think it would have caught a lot more people's attention. When they take those hoods off, people are going to be like, huh? Oh, okay. Because you, like, when the Shield came, you're like, oh shit, that's Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. We didn't know who Roman was, but at least he was associated with those two guys, right?
Yeah.
And Dijak is decently known, but not really. And Chelsea Green, I think, unless you're kind of like, unless you're wrestling nerds like us, it really is kind of a deep dive for Chelsea Green, unless you were watching Impact, right? Or All Out. Like, I don't know how many people really know who Chelsea Green really is. All respect to her. She's super talented. And then the other three people are going to not really know. At least with the Nexus, you had the ability of watching NXT before. And now look, you've seen stuff like The Butcher and The Blade and The Dark Order on AEW, when people will be screaming that. Well, those, no one knew who The Butcher and The Blade was and who Dark Order was, and look what happened there. Yeah, but I trust AEW's booking more than WWE's booking, and that's what this comes down to. I trust, and look, the Dark Order, it took almost a year to make them work. And it took Brody Lee coming to really help. So it took someone that we knew could be talented to make them work. And for The Butcher and The Blade, it worked, but would you not say it took being with Pentagon of Phoenix and Eddie Kingston now to really make it work?
I think we're going to see... I think we're going to see them take the next step with that group. I think it could have probably worked with them and they weren't paired up with Pac.
Pentagon, yeah.
Yeah. But having them paired up with this group, I think, is going to help establish The Butcher and The Blade. And it does take that time, but as we've
even learned, LAX with Jericho, right? No one knew who they were, really, if you don't watch TNA. But within a few shorts week of being with Jericho, it changed everything with them.
Yeah. They've had matches. They've got promos that have further helped establish who they are and what they do. As for this Retribution, the thing my biggest fear is the one thing we have to worry about is Vince getting cold on them, and it just not working right away. Because you saw the thing, if Dark Order was in WWE, they've already would have been disbanded, and Evil Uno and Stu would be dropping to different things and just doing
that's what happened with EY, right? With what was the group that they had with Killian Dane?
Oh, Insanity.
Like they came for like 2 weeks and he's like, nah, I don't like it. It's like, okay. And that was a good gimmick. I really worked well in NXT. And I thought Killian Dane was great with it. I thought Eric Young was great on it. Alexander Wolf was really good. I mean, it works that he's in Imperium now. He's fine there. But it didn't work, and he just moved on from it because they're like, yeah, it didn't work. So I hope that that's not what this kind of is. And again, I thought maybe for a second Miro, who now is Rusev, maybe was going to really come there or something, but I don't know what Miro's doing at this point. But he would have helped. I do think you need at least one recognizable face with this group.
Yeah.
And maybe it's Miz. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it is the Miz. I don't know. But you need a recognizable face.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And, like, you need, especially with a WWE audience, you need a star to help establish these guys. And if you don't have that star, then I think they got an uphill battle. They really have an uphill battle.
And I think you and I would both recognize, though, Dijak can be that star. And Dio Madden's a big guy, so there's absolutely that. I haven't seen – you and I have seen Shane Thorne in person when he was in the tag team. What was it, TM16 or whatever?
Yeah.
And he was fine. Caden Carter, I don't think, is the right choice for the woman's pick aside Chelsea. I would have gone with Vanessa Bourne promo-wise, to be honest, or somebody else. I think Caden Carter is fine. I don't know if that's exactly who I would have gone with, though.
Yeah.
Chelsea I would have gone with. Chelsea and Dijak are correct picks.
Yeah, no, I do think so as well, but it feels like they're just taking scraps of NXT and going, let's throw them all together and see what happens. Like, they're a group causing chaos.
Yeah. Here's my last question. If you could have picked five, right, and keep in mind you have to have at least two women and three guys, and all the ones that are already picked are still on the table, who are the five you would have realistically picked to make this group?
So are we just taking from NXT, or are we taking from across the board?
Well, let's just take from NXT right now, because that's where the pool was. And you can realistically still take Dijak and Chelsea Green if you want to.
So I'm taking those two. You're going to need someone to establish something. Just off the top of my head, if this group is about retribution and taking revenge on WWE... and causing anarchy and chaos and just really sticking it to the man, then your centerpiece for this group is Finn Balor. Because you look at how Finn was treated on the main roster. You can tie in the Good Brothers getting canned. You can tie in just what he did in NXT, though I do think he's winning the title on Tuesday. That's besides the point. He is a guy that has floundered and shouldn't flounder, because you see his promos, you see his in-ring. He's money. He's the leader of this group because he is against everything in this establishment. And he has already once led a group that was anti-establishment, anti-tradition, and they were a club of bullets. So I think you take his edgy character, you put that at the center. Dijak is your heater, your big man, Chelsea Green, and the other two, I want to say Ciampa for one of them. And the reason I'm saying Ciampa is you can go with what he did against Atlas in NXT, where he just murders the guy, the Sicilian psychopath, just this unhinged, violent, violent man that is going to hurt and tear you apart. So it's like you've got the big massive guy in Dijak, but but you've got the smaller guy in Ciampa that just wants to hurt people. And he can be a guy that could cause problems for Finn down the line. There could be a program between the two of them at some point. But you've got this pit bull that is just going to tear through guys and do moves that look like they legit hurt. And just violent, violent, violent man. The final woman in this.
Sorry, by the way, I was wrong, Joel. It's six. The other female is Mia Yim, who I think I would give the thumbs up to. I have no problem with it being Mia Yim.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad call either, especially.
Yeah,
so then you keep Mia Yim, and the one woman that's not listed. Because, I mean, you do have some options. You're not going to pull Candace from it because her and Johnny are doing their thing, and you're not messing around with that. You can't pull Io because she's the face of your division. What would you think of a Rhea Ripley? And the reason you could use a Rhea Ripley.
I thought about that, yeah. I thought about Rhea.
You mean you look at what happened after she lost to Charlotte?
Mercedes Martinez is the other one.
Yeah, that's another one. You just have to have each of these. You have to find a way why all these guys come into Retribution. Ciampa's reason could be, you know, look at what you did to NXT. Look at this beautiful thing that I built. And then you came down and you changed it. And you could even shoot a little bit in the promo where it became just this thing to compete. It wasn't what it was. You ruined it. You, Vince McMahon, came in and ruined my NXT. So now I'm going to ruin your main event. I'm going to ruin all of this thing that everyone talks about, that everyone needs to obtain and grab. We don't, because I'm going to ruin it, and I'm going to just destroy everything around it. Rhea Ripley, it could be the same thing with Charlotte, just how the ending of Charlotte happened. I don't know the motivation for Mia Yim, but I'm sure you can figure out something where it becomes this, I want to shake up the establishment. The establishment was just going to keep me in NXT. You could make up stuff where Vince has this talent want to talk to Vince about maybe doing something, and Vince is like, yeah, I don't see anything in you. You're just going to stay in NXT.
I think the women are right. I think the women is Rhea, Mia, and Chelsea. I love your Finn point, so I don't want to – I think him as the leader makes the most sense. I would also bring up the idea of Killian Dane in the Dio Madden role. Makes a lot more sense because he's ready to go, and he's kind of just been up and down in NXT, and I think he's someone you could put on the main roster. He can be the big heavy that, again, kind of has a reason. I also wouldn't mind, you know, if you didn't do Finn, which I do like, to replace the Shane Thorne, I wouldn't mind Isaiah Swerve Scott because he's a lot more talented. He has the energy to at least get over on the main roster and the charisma too. I think it'd be nice to at least have one kind of cruiserweight type of guy with the team.
I can agree. I don't know if Scott's the right one. The other cruiserweight you could go with is Maverick.
I'm just going over Shane's. Dallas Maverick works too. Yeah, for sure.
He's another guy that you could maybe go with as
and
well.
I have a wild card for you too, Mansoor.
Maybe.
A wild card, and then Kona Reeves is another wild card. It's like either kind of shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, just fine. And you can create motivation for these. It's your story, so you can create stuff. You can create something that happened with, and I tie it back to Vince. I still tie it back to Vince because Vince is the establishment. And
if I really could do it, though, by the way, sorry to interrupt there, Joel. If I really could do it, those three women you said, Mia, Rhea, Chelsea. Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Dijak. That's what I would really go for.
Yeah. The only issue with and I can see why they didn't pick some of them, is you're the counter programming to NXT.
AEW.
And you can't pick the bones dry. That's why Finn would never go, but no. Finn would make the most sense as the leader.
What were you saying about Vince as the archetype before I interrupted you?
Vince is the Foley for this group. Mm-hmm. You can point out every crappy thing Vince has done talent-wise, You can tie in the releases. You can tie in real life. You can tie in talent being held down and going somewhere else and being stars. And you just, you're an old archaic man that just doesn't have it anymore. And you need to be removed. And this is what this group's here for, to cause so much chaos that the board of directors and anyone within their right mind want you gone. Because I think ultimately one of the bigger goals long term, and this is me spitballing on the fly booking, so I may have better ideas later on, but one of the main goals with this is I think it's time to finally write Mr. McMahon off TV permanently. I think it's time to finally move on from that character. I don't know what that means long term for your product, but I just think it's time that Vince is, like, you look at how Vince looks and you know how he's older. You don't want to burn Vince out because Vince isn't dying. Vince isn't going anywhere. Getting him where at a point where it's like, this is it, Vince. This is your last hurrah as an on-air character. And from here on out, you're just behind the scenes because that's where they need him. That's where they need him. They don't need him on the screen anymore. Because you should be focused on establishing other stars, and you could do that with this group. Just spitballing here.
So, I mean, I guess we should say, like, we don't know for sure if that's who Retribution's actually going to be. That's just who the people were at Raw the other night.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see who is actually in this group, because it could be a whole bunch of someone else. And they're like, oh, well, we didn't see this coming.
I think you got to have – I think the Finn idea is the best idea because he's someone that can lead it. And I don't – at that point, you can put a Shane Thorne there. It's not going to matter because he's going to be able to carry everybody over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go, folks. And, yeah, a great night from Payback. Thumbs up there. Is there matches we're going to particularly remember? No, but I think it's a night where you could look back of, like, this was the kind of the startup to really start pushing young talent. And – look, I think you're a week away. This is your second last Monday? Yes, second last Monday without competing against Monday Night Football. So you have to kind of start getting ready to go into that mold. And, I mean, it's not only going against Monday Night Football. It's going to be a tough slate because you're going to have to deal with the unprecedented time of dealing with Major League Baseball playoffs, NBA playoffs, and – hockey playoffs and football all at the same time, which you've never had to deal with ratings wise, not to mention television shows coming back in the fall. So it's good to get in the place you're at right now.
Yeah. It's time to establish, some new stars that can help carry you further.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Before we go, I just wanted to send a heartfelt message from Joel and myself. Rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. Just an unfortunate loss that we had this past Friday, Joel.
I don't even know what to say. It's just totally out of left field, and it's out of left field because it was his choice. And he's a real-life superhero. He's a real-life superhero. And we needed as many of those as possible right now. And it sucks. It really sucks.
Yep. So until next time, folks, cheers. Wakanda forever.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And good night, Ben.